Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades on five continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
If you ever visit a country where idol worship is practiced, one of the striking aspects of such worship is that it's always done in silence. The worshipers are silent or dumb because the idols they are worshiping are dumb. But our God is not an idol, and he certainly is not dumb. For as Hebrew 12 tells us, "You have come forward to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." And it's interesting here, implying that not only do the worshipers speak, but listen to verse 24 in Hebrews 12. "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, which speaks something better than that of Abel." Here, not only do the worshipers speak, even the blood is speaking. Francis Ball has joined us as we consider a marvelous portion today based on, really, Ephesians, where we are to be filled in spirit speaking. Welcome back to the program, Francis.
Thank you very much, and certainly today is my privilege to be here.
Francis says, "The worshipers of the living God, just how should we be? Should we be dumb and silent as the idol worshipers are, or should we be, as the psalmist declared again and again, 'Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise.'"
I think that aspect of God's worship is something really recovered in these days, because for years people have been so silent when it comes to worshiping God. They like to have a silent prayer, and when you walk into the cathedral, shh, be quiet, and all this. God is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silent. That's but not the saints. The saints should be shouting with a loud joy. Hallelujahs should fill the place where we worship.
Amen. I would say amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm sure if Dick Taylor was here, he would echo in this chorus, wouldn't
yes,
he, Francis?
He would, and he'd have a song to go with it.
Francis, we've come to Ephesians chapter 5, and this portion, verse 18, I alluded to a moment ago. Be filled in spirit, and then you have to join that, of course, with verse 19. So the command is here. It's even not a suggestion by the Apostle Paul, but a command to be filled in spirit. And then in verse 19, if you read it all together, be filled in spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Really a resounding amen to the words you just spoke in your introduction, spoken by the Word of God himself through the Apostle Paul, isn't it?
Yes, this is marvelous, and this is a marvelous revelation for us to see afresh that God is a speaking God, and for us to be worshipers of him, we have to be a speaking people.
Well, let me tell our listeners today, you'll hear a lot of joyful noise in the background as Witness Lee was releasing this message way back in 1973, I would say to the delight of all those who were assembled together, several thousand if I remember rightly,
right. And
a lot of choruses of amens and hallelujahs could be heard, and it was very fitting given the subject that he brought forth that day, and we're going to bring it forth now. So let's join him for this first section.
In verse 19 of Ephesians 5, it says, "Speaking one to another, when you are filled in your spirit with all the fullness of God, you have to speak." All Christians have to be the speaking people. We shouldn't be dumb, because the very God whom we worship is a speaking God. Only the idols are dumb. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul said, "In the past, you were led away to worship the dumb idols." That means when you worship the dumb idols, you didn't speak. Is the God whom you worship is dumb?
No.
No? Then how about you? When you come into the meeting, are you speaking? In other words, are you bubbling?
Amen.
Our God is not dumb.
Yes.
Our God is a speaking God.
Yes.
So we, as God's worshipers, have to be speaking.
Yes.
Have to make some noise.
Yes.
You know, even Psalm, one of the Old Testament book, it has at least seven times charging us to make a joyful noise. When we come to the meeting, everyone will speak something. Even you would start to speak while you are still on the street. In the ancient time, when the people of God coming to their feast, they were speaking one to another while they were on the way. Tonight, I will check you whether you are really scripture or not by Ephesians 5:19. We have to speak.
What did Paul say, Francis, in Corinthians? I came to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power?
Right.
Yeah, wasn't
that demonstration of the Spirit and power? I think that's what we just heard. This is really a marvelous release, and this is what pleases the Lord. He's a speaking God, so He requires a speaking people. And if we are filled in Spirit, we will be speaking people. Actually, to be filled in Spirit, you need to speak. And if you're filled in Spirit, you certainly will speak. And this being filled in Spirit, this is our spirit, our regenerated spirit, that must be filled. It's not the Holy Spirit here, but our regenerated spirit is to be filled. We are to be filled in Spirit, speaking. Speaking in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, even the songs are not just to be sung, but to be spoken.
Right.
Sometimes in the meetings, we have spoken hymns back and forth to one another, and it's so releasing and so filling, so satisfying.
In verse 19, chapter 3, it talks about being filled unto all the fullness of God. And the fullness, as he illustrated, I remember when we were in chapter 3 in the life study some weeks ago, he talked about the fullness being the overflow. Really, mm-hmm. You can fill a cup, but when it's hit the point of fullness is when it overflows.
That's right.
And the fullness here is really related to this speaking, isn't it?
That's right. How else would you overflow? With your enjoyment of the Lord and your enjoyment of the experiences of the Lord, how else could you make it known? Just smile? Try to make your eyes glisten? This will not work. But when you speak, something comes out of that fullness.
Why is it, Francis, that the matter of reverence, which of course is right, we need to be reverent in the proper sense to God as we come before Him, but that has become such the overwhelming thought, and I think taken to an extension that was never really implied in this matter of reverence, to where it has just zipped all the lips of all the Christians, all the believers. And in, as you pointed out, in so many instances today, just the opposite of this is what's practiced. I wonder why this has been lost through the ages.
Well, I don't know how to answer that question, except that we just got some kind of concept put into us. I remember when I was a young boy, when you come into the meeting of the church,
right,
you just are supposed to be quiet, be still, don't make any noise. And one time there was a brother meeting with us when we were in Los Angeles, and he went to a denominational church.
Mm-hmm.
And began to praise the Lord. And the usher came by and said, "We do not praise the Lord here." Not audibly, anyway. But the way to praise the Lord is audibly, letting your voice be heard, letting your the enjoyment of being full of the Spirit come out and be an expression of Him.
I was thinking, listening to that last segment, we'll get some more opportunities in this one just ahead, hearing this response, you know, from those who were gathered. And you can't help but remember when the Lord had His triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. What were they doing? They were crying Hosanna, right?
Yeah.
And there was certainly a lot of audible praising the Lord there.
My, yes.
Francis, he referred to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. Paul said, you know that when you were Gentiles, you were always being led away to dumb idols whenever and however you were led. Mm-hmm. We're being led another way these days, aren't we?
Yes, and I'm so happy to be led the other way, to be led away from the dumb idols and to the living Christ.
Well, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Be filled in your spirit. Then what? Then speaking. One, two, another. When you are filled in your spirit with all the fullness of God, the first thing you have to do is to speak. Yeah. Have you ever practiced this kind of speaking? Here is a verse in this book on the church that tells us we have to speak after we are filled in our spirit with all the fullness of God. We have to speak. The most easy way to get yourself spiritual is to speak. To speak for the Lord. To speak of the Lord. To speak something regarding the Lord. Amen. The more you speak, the more you will be spiritual. Why? Because the more you speak, the more you will be filled up by the Spirit. Just shut up your mouth and be quiet. Try to be spiritual. To shut up your mouth, you could never be filled with the Spirit. You have to speak. If you don't have anyone in your home to listen to your speaking, if you have a cat, you can speak to the cat. Little kitty. Let me tell you, I have a spirit, you don't. I have the Lord Jesus in my spirit, but you don't. I'm much higher than you are. Hallelujah. You see, I can say hallelujah, but you can't. Praise the Lord. You can't. Little doggy, you can bark, but you cannot say amen, oh Lord Jesus. I am not joking. Try. If you try this, you will see how spiritual you will be. When you look at the flowers, you say, flowers, you are so pretty, but I tell you, I have something better, prettier, much better, much more beautiful than what you have. Your pretty is vanity. But my pretty, my beauty, I mean, is what? Jesus Christ. I tell you, you can speak. Learn to speak and see how spiritual you will be.
Francis, I don't think we need to tell people this message today is not one that is centered on great doctrine. This is on Christian practice.
Yeah.
This matter that he just touched, I think we need to talk about a little bit. What is it really to be spiritual? I think in our natural mind, we have the concept that, a spiritual person is this very holy, very reverent, you know, very kind of silent and contemplative, deep person. But really, a spiritual person is one who's filled with the Spirit, isn't it?
Yes, and he's the one that's speaking.
Right.
I do know this from my own experience. The more I speak, the more I'm filled in the Spirit. And the more I'm filled in the Spirit, the more I have to speak. This is really a key to our spiritual life. It's not by becoming a monk and going off into a mountain or becoming a hermit and just by yourself and think that you're spiritual. This will not work. You must be a person that speaks. A speaking person, more than likely, is a Spirit-filled person. If he's speaking the things of God, for God, and about God, he's a person who is in spirit. And he's a bubbling person. He's
right.
Always bubbling over with something so fresh and so new. I think Brother Lee even started this message about showing us something new. This something new is this matter of speaking. It's new to most Christians because for years, even centuries, we've been conditioned to be silent, to be dumb. But we're not worshiping a dumb idol. We're worshiping a living, speaking God.
What about his encouragement here to practice on our dog and our cat and even the trees and the flowers? It sounds a little odd, but
I know it sounds odd, but I have done that.
I've spoken to my dashboard on the freeway a time or two.
I was with a family in a city here in California, staying for a few days, and they had a dog. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to prepare something to speak in the meeting, and I just practiced on the dog. And pretty soon that dog was on all fours down on the floor, just on his stomach with his legs stretched out. And I thought, boy, I'm getting somewhere. Because I kept telling this dog, you don't have a spirit like I do. You don't have Christ in you like I do. And it looked like he was getting convicted. But actually, when the folks came home and I told them what happened, they said, he just thought you were scolding him. Because I was releasing my spirit and enjoying the Lord.
Well, the dog was afraid you were scolding him, but what happened to you when you were doing all this speaking, Francis?
I was being filled. I really was being filled.
I think this is not something that is so too simple for us to actually practice this. The more what we speak becomes real to us, number one, and number two, the more the Spirit joins in with our spirit, witnesses within that we really are the sons of God, the children of God, mm-hmm. and really strengthens what we are speaking, convicting ourselves as we speak, and the filling is just spontaneous.
That's right. To speak the Word of God really helps. And
yes.
to speak something for the Lord in your experience really is a release.
We're going to come to this matter that Paul gets to in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 now, very much related to this. Let me read a couple of verses, Francis. Verse 1 begins, "Pursue love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Now, this is a chapter that many Christians use as a strong case when they're promoting speaking in tongues. And there is something there about speaking in tongues, but the emphasis in this chapter, if you go back and read it quite carefully, is not on tongue speaking. In fact, it's emphasizing something quite different, this matter of prophesying. The chapter begins with it, and then in verses 31 and 32, it says, "For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and be encouraged." And then, verse 32, a very key verse, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." So we can, as prophets, one by one, each, it says all can prophesy. We exercise our spirit because it is subject to us and prophesy, speaking for God, speaking forth God, all of these things included in this matter of prophesying.
Yes, prophesying is something of speaking for someone. To prophesy also means to speak forth something, to declare something. It does mean to foretell. And so often that's what it is taken to mean. But that's not the main emphasis.
Right.
But it's to speak forth. So when we prophesy, we speak forth something of Christ who is in our spirit. And we have a spirit that can be at our command.
Right.
We can say, "Oh, Lord, my spirit."
Amen.
I've tried that many times, and I really get a fullness and a supply and have more to speak just by saying, "Oh, Lord, my spirit, come out, my spirit."
Well, let's join Witness Lee, and I think we'll hear his come out in this final segment today.
The best way to speak is to prophesy in the meetings. When the whole church come together into one place, you all have to speak. You all have to prophesy. So many dear children of God always pick up 1 Corinthians chapter 14. For speaking in tongues. But you read chapter 14 again. It is not so much for the speaking in tongues. It is for prophesying. Why? Because prophesying builds up the church. And what is to prophesy? To prophesy is not to predict. To prophesy is just to speak something normally for the Lord Jesus. To speak for something of the Lord Jesus. This is to prophesy. Verse 32 says, "The spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets." Don't wait for the spirit to come upon you. You have the spirit within you already. And your spirit is subject to yourself. You just take the initiative. You just exercise your spirit. Then you start to speak. Not according to your thinking, but according to what you sense deep within your spirit. This kind of speaking is easy for everybody. So Paul says, you all can prophesy. So today, we all have to experience Christ. Day by day, we'll live by Christ. We would be filled with Christ. My, in my spirit, I am filled up. I do have to overflow. Then what? When I come in the meeting, I speak. And you speak. This kind of speaking is the offering of Christ to God. And to share this Christ one with another. Then this kind of meeting is the expression of the living Christ. This is the proper way for the church to meet.
Francis, once again, I think this, what we just heard, absolutely runs counter to the prevailing thought in many cases. Let's say we're in the context of a gathering of the believers in the church, and the prevailing thought may very well be, I wait upon the Lord, I wait on the Spirit until the Spirit moves and I'm, you know, inspired to speak something. And again, we would say, not opposing that, and that not that there isn't times when that is very much how the Spirit operates, but there's another aspect that's been missed almost altogether, isn't there?
Yes, because we think that if we're going to speak something in a meeting, that we certainly should have a good preparation of studying and having the right words, and then waiting for the Spirit to give us a feeling so we can speak with some authority, with some teaching. But actually, the meetings of the church are not primarily just to get some doctrinal teaching, but they're to release Christ so that Christ is ministered to one another, not by one man from one direction, but from all the saints from every direction. One by one, they can all prophesy. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 14 says, all can prophesy. And in Ephesians chapter 4, when he's talking about building up the body of Christ, all the joints, that is the stronger ones, are the joints, and the everyone is a part.
Right.
So each one part is contributing to the building up. And here in this context today, we realize that that building up and that functioning to build up the church is by prophesying, that is speaking something forth. So we come back to our subject from the very beginning. Speaking is the evidence of being filled in spirit.
Well, this is a refreshing word, and I think the demonstration of speaking in spirit was there very much in our brother's sharing and his portion. But it's not something we should just sit back and marvel at what someone else did 20 or 30 years ago. But really, all the members need to pick this up and begin to practice this being filled speaking
right
to one another, and really experiencing this infilling of the Spirit by virtue of the fact that we exercise our spirit.
Amen.
To let something of Christ out.
Amen. It's a wonderful thing. We get up in the morning, begin to speak one another something of Christ, even to Christ, saying, Lord Jesus, I love you.
It's good to begin by speaking to Him, isn't it?
Yeah, right. And He gives you plenty to say for Him.
Well, I've really enjoyed having you with us as always, Francis, and we just commit this one to the Lord and to all of His dear children who are out there, and trust that the Lord will really witness and confirm. We do have the printed message to go along with what we've brought to you today, and if you'd like to find out about that, as always, we invite you to call our toll-free number, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Or you can write to us at Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814, and our email address is radio@lsm.org. Join us again next week as we continue on this life study of Ephesians. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Weil. Thank you very much for listening.
And break and build together in Thee.
Witness Lee's remarkable commentary on the life of Abraham, taken from the life study of Genesis, is now available from Living Stream Ministry in a single volume entitled Abraham Called by God. Abraham Called by God by Witness Lee is available at Christian bookstores everywhere, or you can order by calling 1-888-543-3788. That's 1-888-543-3788.